think we're going to get to a shaila now today that we've been waiting for. It's very negeya. Okay? And the shaila is as follows. If basically it goes about money, cash. Someone asks you to watch their cash. Are you allowed to spend it? So the most common case is someone tells you, someone says, "Hey, you're going to Eretz Yisrael. Can you bring some dollars to my daughter that's living there?" Right. So that's the very very basic case. So one case, someone gives you money to take to Eretz Yisrael. Are you allowed to spend the money? We're talking about Shlichus Yad over here. We're talking about the prohibition that you're not allowed to go ahead and spend and touch or use something that you're a shomer on, right? If you're a shomer on it, you're not allowed to use it, spend it, chepper with it in any way. So what about money? Someone gives you money, are you allowed to spend it?
Isn't it understood you're going to bring $100 to the daughter? Does it have to be that $100?
That's part of the question.
Oh, that is the question.
That's really the question, because if it's not that $100, you're essentially you're lending me money. If I would, and if it's $100, sometimes it's.
Are you allowed to take the cash deposit in your bank, and when you get there to show, I'll sell that person $100. This we cannot actually.
Okay, so let's talk about that, but I want to talk about so A, are you allowed to put it in your in the bank? B, are you mechuyev to put it in your bank? And C,
does it have to be that
$100 or not? And if it's $100, it's different. But let's say, I went to Eretz Yisrael and someone called me up and said, "Can you bring $10,000 cash?" I said, "No." But
no, $10,000 is over the mark. You have to declare.
What is it?
$9,999. You don't have to declare with $10,000. They catch you.
Okay, so I guess that's right. I guess that's what he meant. So like. Yeah, but still, I don't want that type of a chrayis, right? Now, you'll tell me, what do you care? What do you care if it's this cash or that cash, right? Well, it's not that simple, right? Because let's say that person, I would go and ask them, by the way, can I borrow $10,000? No, absolutely not. I don't know if you'll be able to pay me. So, lav dafka, the person's interested in lending me $10,000, right? So, if he doesn't want to lend me the $10,000, maybe he doesn't want me to spend the money and then assume that I'll be able to pay it back when I get there. Right? For the same reason why he doesn't want me to spend it in the first place.
But if you, as the guy, know that I have plenty of money in my wallet, I put that money in my pocket, I used it to pay this or that, and I have money in my wallet, I give it.
I know, I understand.
It's not like borrowing.
I mean, that's called borrowing, I'm saying, essentially.
So just as a side note, it seems that if a person gives you the money and you put it in your bank, it seems like that's the safest thing to do so the money doesn't get lost or stolen.
Okay.
And then after, once you get to Israel, you could start doing, it seems just logically,
right.
Since you're a shomer, you want to make sure it's, so once the money's in the bank, that's it, you know you're good.
Right. But if the money in the bank could be transferred to the person in Israel, so then why doesn't that guy just do it?
Because he doesn't have technologically, whatever. He's a cash account.
He's not that type of guy. He just has his mattress. His money's in his mattress.
It could be that the person that he's giving the money to is a trustworthy person, and he knows that this guy will handle the transaction once he's in Israel.
Okay.
That's what it seems to me logical.
Right. Okay, so there's a Truvin Ramosha, there's a lot of things on this.
You should not use it, because once you use the money, you're already running a big risk of not being able to pay it back.
Well, that's kind of what I was telling Shmuel, that it's basically a loan. And who says the guy's interested in lending you the money? So what we're going to discuss is...
It happens many times. You spend the money and then you don't have the money.
Well, obviously, right. So there's three shilas that we're going to talk about. A, are you allowed to spend the money? B, if you are allowed to spend the money, are you now a shomer chinam or are you a shomer sachar? Why? Shomer chinam means I'm watching it for free. Shomer sachar means I have a benefit by watching it. Now, normally, we associate the benefit of watching it because you're paid to watch it. But let's say I'm not paid to watch, but I have a different benefit by watching it. It's also Shomer Sachar. So here, there's a different benefit I have by watching your money, which is you gave me permission to spend it if I want. So now, maybe that alone makes me a Shomer Sachar. And if it gets stolen or lost, I am Chayiv. So that's number two question. Number three question is, at what point do I ever become a borrower? You know, and obviously if you borrow money from someone, then you're not just a Shomer Chinam anymore. Now you're a you're not even a Shomer Sachar anymore. You're a Loive. Means you borrowed money. If you borrow money, you're on the hook for whatever happens to that money. If I go to someone and I say, hey, could I borrow $10,000 cash? Come over. Yeah, here, you can borrow the money. What do you need the money for? I need the money to pay the caterer, right. I don't want to make anyone faint again, but the point is, I gotta pay the caterer. So now, I gotta go pay the caterer. So give me the $10,000 cash, I'll pay you next week. I go to the guy's house, I pick up the $10,000 cash, and on the way home, a hurricane, crazy wind, and the money falls out of my, is blown out of my hand, or it gets stolen, let's say even better. On the way home, I get held up at gunpoint, and the money's stolen. It's a total oinus, beyond my control. Do I have to pay back the money, or do I say, well, it's not my fault, it's an oinus? Who loses in that case, the borrower or the lender? Well, he's not a Shomer Chinam. He's not even a Shomer Sachar. He borrowed the money. So once you borrow the money, you're on the hook for whatever happens, obviously.
Yeah. Is there a concept of negligence here?
No.
It was beyond his control.
Well, that's what I'm saying. By a borrower, that's not the case. That's what I'm trying to bring out. A borrower, even the highest level of out of your control, doesn't matter. Because once you borrow the money, you're on the hook to pay it back. It doesn't matter what happens. It's your problem. So there's three levels. There's Shomer Chinam, which you're not really chayav for anything unless you're negligent. There's Shomer Sachar, which says that once you're getting a benefit from the money, you're on the hook for most things. But if it's totally beyond your control, you're potter. And then there's a loive. You borrow the money, you got to pay back no matter what. Okay? So let's see the status of someone watching a cash. Now one other hakdama. Let's do one more hakdama to this. The akdama to this is that we learned in last simon, we learned that Shomer Chinam, there's only real one proper way to watch money, which is Ksafim Ein Lahem Shmira Ela Bekarka. Now we learned last time that the proper way to watch money is by putting them in the ground. So that also will play a role over here. And now let's start learning the halacha. Page 50. It's Reish Tzadi Beis Iv Zayin. Hoya hanifkad shulchani oy chenvani. So the Shulchan Aruch addresses the question by saying, the person that you asked to watch your money, it kind of depends, is he the type of guy that needs cash? Is he a farmer? Maybe. If he's a farmer, he doesn't use cash that much. His business is selling. What?
Once a year, when he buys his.
Yeah, but basically, he's not a cash guy. He uses money. He uses karka. He uses. Right? So therefore, if you ask him, "Can you watch my money?" You don't assume that he's going to spend it, and therefore he's a shomer chinam, and that's it. But he's not allowed to spend the money. But let's say the guy is a money changer. Or the guy is a chenvani, which is he's a retail store guy. So he's constantly buying and selling. V'hufkad etzle mois, and someone gives him money to watch. Im einam chasum envelik shurim, and they weren't given in any sort of special envelope, or any sort of special tie or knot, indicating that I don't want you to touch it. Afa pishem tsururim, even if it was in a rubber band or something, he's allowed to spend the money. So since he's allowed to spend the money, he's no longer a Shomer Chinam. Now he's a Shomer Sachar. And if he's a Shomer Sachar, he has a higher level of responsibility. And if you did use the money, then he's chayv and oinsim. Okay, even after he was maksilim kaiman, achi achzirim labaalehem, until he gives it back to the owner. Vim hayu amois shurim v'chasum, and here's interesting, but if the money was given in a signed and sealed envelope, basically saying, here's $10,000 cash, watch this for me, and you're a farmer, or even not a farmer, and you're a shulchani, you're a money guy, I know you're a money guy, but I still don't want you to use my cash. So then, lo yishtamish b'hem, don't use them. Therefore, you're only a shomer chinam. And if it's hufka do eitzel balabayis, but if it's given to a regular plain person, no matter what, the assumption should be that he will not use it. So, basically, Shulchan Aruch is breaking it down by saying, if there's the person who's watching it for you is a cash person, then you have to assume that he's going to use it, and he is allowed to use it. Since he's allowed to use it, he has access to your cash. The fact that he has access to your cash makes him into a shomer sachar, and he attains more responsibility.
Just providing you're not getting any additional benefit from...
Assuming that right now. Now, if he's not a cash guy...
Cash guys, I could say, give him a better rate on other transactions.
No, this is just, you're asking him a favor, but he's going to use the money. Once he's going to use the money, he's a shomer sachar. If he actually uses the money, he's a borrower, and then he... Okay. Now, what about nowadays? Are we farmers? Are we cash people? What are we? So the Sma says, nowadays, everyone's considered a cash person. Because all of our business is done with cash. Cash meaning money. Nobody is sitting there on the farm. That's not what we do, right? So we are transacting in money. And therefore, any person you give money to watch, the assumption is that he's allowed to spend it.
So we're a transactional society now.
What?
We're a transactional society.
Right.
Cashless.
Right. Now we're cash. It's still cash because you can put in your...
Cash.
It becomes numbers on your computer screen once you deposit it into your bank. So that's all that matters. So the point is that nowadays the SMA says that you have to assume that the person's going to spend it. That's what the Sma says. So if the Sma said that in those days, I would think kal v'chomer nowadays. We're for now even more so. We're a cash society.
And also, and everybody's dying for cash. Like nobody can pay their bills. They only need some money.
Yeah. Zok the Heliga Igros Moshe. Zok the Heliga Igros Moshe or Moshe Feinstein Kedarkoi. Comes with the total left field svara to turn around the whole sugya.
Rabbi, does that mean when somebody gives you a dollar as a shaliach mitzvah money and you open your wallet, you stick it in with a bunch of other dollars, it has to be that dollar that you give away? It can't be
I think the intent there is to go to tzedakah, not to be lent to give to someone else.
Yeah, but you
can pay
dollar is dollar.
You
don't give that
for
a dollar.
Well, you're shliach on it. You're saying you're my mafia. Well, it's a good shaila,
yeah.
Because really, you're... Okay. I would assume that you're allowed to spend the money, and you're allowed to, because that's what we're saying, is that people assume that you will spend money nowadays. So therefore, I think you're allowed to. However, Dr. Moshe, what is the logic over here? If I'm giving you cash, this is my hard-earned money, if you would have asked me to borrow the money, I would have never let you in a million years. I'm not interested in lending you $10,000 cash, right? But all of a sudden, I ask you as a friend, hey, I'm going away for the summer. Can you watch my money? All of a sudden, I have to assume that you're going to spend it? And I have to go in knowing that? Like, why? Dr. Moshe, because you want him to watch your money. Now, you know that it's very hard to watch money. Because in those days, how do you watch money? You have to go and dig a hole in your backyard. So the guy says, you know what? It's safer for me to go spend it and owe the money than to... It's a big tircha. And therefore, since there's a tircha of going and digging a hole, so if I'm a guy that I don't need the money and you're asking me a favor, I'm a farmer, and you're asking me a favor, watch your money, so I'm taking it on with the assumption I'm going to go dig a hole and put it in my backyard and I'll watch it for you, no problem. But if I'm a guy that I use money, the assumption is I'm not going to go dig a hole. I'm going to rather spend the money, and I'll give it back to you when you need it. No problem. because you need me at the end. You need me to watch your cash. Zokta Moshe, nowadays that it's very easy to watch people's money because you could just put it in your bank. You're talking not allowed to spend it. So that's your point. Unbelievable chiddush from Moshe. So it goes. The Torah is like it goes like it starts off that in the Gemara's times, the halacha was regular person. You give them the money, they're not allowed to spend it because they're farmers and all this. It goes to the Smaz days. The Smaz says everyone needs cash. When you're giving someone money, you have to assume they're going to spend it. Rav Moshe brings it back full circle and says, no, but nowadays, since there's a very easy way to watch your money, why would I be giving it to you with the assumption that you're going to spend it? I would rather you just put it in your bank for me. Harei bizmanenu, chay shemesh patchelik beiz, simin nun gimel. Dr. Moshe, lan yazdaiti l'chalik de bizmanenu b'mekoy moisenu, in our times and days, harei bizmanenu b'medina zu sheyesh bankim, their banks, she'ein tzerich lahoitzi shum hoitza, it doesn't cost you any money to deposit it. V'gam loy tircha, and there's no tircha.
They give you money.
And they give you, now we'll talk about who gets that. Lan yach sham, mois, v'harevach ubar, and there's very easy, you get interest or whatever. V'leka shum chashash hefsid, and there's no tzad in the world, you lose it. It's very safe in the bank. V'chein v'adai hugam be'England. That was the way the person asked the shilohs in England. Shalchein af b'shvil shmira ba'alma shala nifkad yesh l'chayv la'niach sham. When I ask you to watch the money for me, you have to put it in the bank. Ki shmira b'karka b'krochim ha'gdoilim humina nimna. No one puts things in their backyard dug in a hole somewhere anymore nowadays. Shmo, what was your whole mice with that guy in Honduras or whatever? That he put all the cash in the dirt and then it got ruined or something.
That was a story with the big gangster Pablo Escobar. He had so many billions of dollars.
The walls were made out of dollars. What? Seriously, the walls were made out of dollars and they painted them over and they burnt the house down.
Oh yeah.
Find all kind of ways to make, but he dug it up. It was ruined.
Right. That's the point.
When his heat went out. Because the government cut it off because they were after him, and he had nothing to burn in the house, no paper or anything.
No,
he burned
dollars.
Money to stay warm.
That was also a thing.
Why would I give you money to put it to your bank? I put it to my bank. I don't have a bank account.
And that's I'm wondering that also. But
so now that you could just send them, you do it by everything is on the phone.
Right. If I'm asking you to watch my cash, why would I just be okay with you putting it in your bank?
Put it on your bank.
I don't really understand that at all, but maybe there are reasons.
So
and
legally,
since we're recorded, since we're being recorded, we shouldn't discuss that. Maybe he's from overseas, doesn't have an account in this country.
You can't deposit cash nowadays more than $10,000.
Right.
You can't do it. You have to have all this paperwork.
No, also, it could be that he's temporarily here.
Right.
He got some cash.
Right.
He doesn't want right now to bring it back with him to wherever he's going. And he doesn't have an account in this country.
So, Rabbi, what Moshe is saying is, put it in your bank, remove the tircha, but don't spend it?
Yeah.
That's what he's saying, more or less.
Right. In other words, he's saying is that the whole assumption that someone would allow you to spend their money is with a shekel that maybe it's hard for you to watch it also, so I may as well let you spend it. But once you remove that factor, because it's very easy to actually watch it for me, that's what I intended. I intend for you to watch it for me. I don't want you to spend it. I don't want you to spend it. I don't want you to spend it. Which makes a lot of sense. I mean, if I wanted to lend you money, I would lend you money. I'm saying.
And people don't like lending money.
And people don't like
How
lending
much
money.
Against lending money.
Yeah. So the Kutzker said one time, the Kutzker said that there's a Gemara that says minug mevatel halacha. There's some cases where the minug is stronger than the halacha. So the Gemara is looking for a raya. Minayin sheminug mevatel halacha. So the Kutzker said one time, I have a good raya, because when you borrow money, the halacha is that you pay back, but the minig is that you don't.
And they don't have to use that dollar, they can use any dollar. Can't you do that? Can't you do that with $100 of bringing it to my daughter?
Hold on. So, v'lachein loy rak le'elu she'ein tzuchin lisma lemamin she'asurin le'ishtamish hayu mechuyavin laniach shal mitzad shmira u'memeli yagam revach la'amavkid el'avkish she'hifkid eitzel elu hatzuchin lemamin. Even and this svara overrides that which it says in the Gemara, because even if someone that needs money she'nasan she'mutarin le'ishtamish bohem ulai hu rak bishul shu tirkha gdelo shama bakaka lakhina no toilen be umdana kishe hifkin mois mutarin de ich baslu shi shtamish ben. Ramosh is undermining the Gemara. It's unbelievable. He's saying a whole pshat of the Gemara, which makes it not nogea nowadays. The Gemara says, if you give money to someone that their industry, their business, their parnasa is spending money, the assumption is you're giving them the permission to spend it. Says Ramosh, what's the pshat? The pshat is because it's hard to watch it. Nowadays, that it's not hard to watch it, you lose the Gemara. It's unbelievable, Karech of Ramosh. He says a pshat in the Gemara, and based on that pshat, the Gemara is not nogea anymore today. So this is what Ramosha says. Ramosha basically says that nowadays this is not nogea. Now, we're going to get to your question, but on two different points. I want to cover your question on two fronts. Yeah, well?
Is there a concept, what the rabbi just mentioned, in the Torah without specifying something that we assume it? Like, meaning if you know the guy's involved with cash.
Yeah, that's this whole Gemara.
You don't have to verbally tell him don't spend it. We assume and it's okay?
Yeah.
It's okay.
You're asking me to watch it. I'm allowed to spend it, and since I'm allowed to spend it, I'm going to become a Shomer Sacha, not a Shomer Chinam. So now let's take the case where, the case we mentioned a minute ago. I'm going, the guy says, listen, I'm leaving town, I'm on the way to the airport, can you do me a big favor? Can you come over? I have this cash, can you come watch it for me for the summer? $10,000 cash, here, come over. He gives me the money, and my intention, right, on the way home, I'm not negligent, but something happens which is beyond, it's not negligent, but Lamaisa, something happened to it. I left the, we discussed this. I left it maybe in the car unlocked and someone comes in and stole it.
That's negligent.
Is it? It's Gneva Vaveda. I don't know what Gneva Vaveda is if not that.
You know you're watching.
Shurachim Skyv on that? I mean. What? I left it in a decent place that's watched, and the guy comes in, and or even I locked the car, and the guy broke in. Fine. So now, if I'm Mashur Masachar, I'm a Chayiv, I'm Mashur Machin, I'm a Potter. So now, am I Chayiv or Potter? So the answer is, what was your intention? Were you going to spend it or not? If you were never planning on spending it, you're just a Shomer Chinam, you're Potter. But if you were going to plan on spending it, you're Mashur Masachar. So, according to Ramosha, there's now leniency. We were saying Ramosha is strict, because he's saying you're not allowed to spend the money. But it comes out it's a leniency now. Since you're not allowed to spend the money, you're only a Shomer Chinam, you're Potter. If you would have been permitted to spend the money, now you became a Shomer Sachar, now you're Chayiv. You understand what I'm saying? That's what we're saying. It's not about permission, it's about the understanding of the two people. It's not about explicit permission here. It's an understanding of the two people involved. Is there an understanding that you're permitted to spend the money? So now, if you're driving on the way to the bank, okay, and then there's some wind and it flew out of the car, it could be your potter because you're shemachinam. You're planning on depositing the money, and why didn't he just deposit it? Kasha for Maisa. Okay, now. If you look in the Pischei Tshuva Ois Beis, okay, and this is going to address, I think we're going to address your issue on two fronts. Pischei Tshuva Ois Beis, which is on Vayter, page 50, it's the Pischei Tshuva there. Pischei Tshuva says the following. Says, Ayin ben Nesivus HaMishpat Le'el Simakuf Chafalef, Mavur B'dvarv Davka Nifkar, Avo Shaliach, Imu Shaliach Lohaylacha, Dainu Shamal Ve'Ois Ois Shaliach, etc. A few who shulchani vein mutarin ein loy reshus leishtamish kiven shloy masram she yishu biyadoi shum zman elo kedei she yimstrim laloyve oy la malve. So here he says like this. Here he says that this entire sugya is when I'm going away for the summer and I'm asking you to watch my money. I'm going to come back and pick it up. I don't want you to spend it. I do want you to spend it. That's the noise over there. But what happens if I'm not asking you to watch it? I'm a shliach. I'm sending you as a shliach, our case. I'm giving you the $9,999 to take with you to Eretz Yisrael to give my daughter. Right? So in that case, Zach says in the Sivus, since you're not a shomer of mine, you're explicitly a shliach, then I don't want you to spend the money. Because the shlichus is for a very specific amount of purpose and short time. I don't want to start lending you the money. Then you're going to get to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to tell my daughter, oh, wait, you know, yeah, I got to go pick up my debt that this guy owes me because I made up a deal with him 10 years ago. No. I gave you the money to bring to Eretz Yisrael. I don't want you to spend it. So the Nesivus brings down that the entire sugya we're talking about is only when you're giving it the money to watch it. But if you're giving the money as a shliach to bring it somewhere, you don't have the heter to spend it at all.
A shliach
is more. No, but watching is different. You went away for the summer, you watched, and you gave me the money. You don't really care as long as it's there for me when I get back. But here, I gave you the money for a very specific tachlis. Go bring it over there. I don't want you in the middle between now and then spending the money. I want you to bring it over there without spending the money. So according to that, you're not allowed to go and switch out the cash, this cash for that cash. Now, you have to spend, you have to give those, that cash. Now about the shliach mitzvah money, I think over there, essentially what they're doing is, you're a shliach of that person, it's a pikadon until you get there to give the money. Is that really what's going on? As long as you're doing, he wants to do that. You're going on your way to do a mitzvah. So pshat is, let's say it's even your own money, but you have in mind that you're going to give a dollar of your own money for tzedakah. It's also shliach mitzvah, right? The point of shliach mitzvah is not shliach. That's not the point. The point is what? You're oisik b'mitzvah. So you're involved in a mitzvah. So really, what I'm doing is I'm giving you a gift, a dollar, and I'm telling you that dollar that I'm giving you, I want you to give to tzedakah. Right? Let's say, are you a shliach mitzvah? If let's say you take a dollar of your own money and you say, I'm going to give a dollar of tzedakah when I get there.
I think so.
It's the same thing. What's the difference? You ask me someone else's dollar?
Same idea.
So my purpose is, I'm just really trying to tell you, I want you to give tzedakah when you get there. So I'm giving you money to give tzedakah, but it's really your money. If let's say, you know, you come back to me and you say, by the way, I lost it, I never gave it. You owe me a dollar?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't think that's the purpose. The purpose is not, you know, that it's a pikadon. It's not a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar. It's a matana. I'm going to ask that you should give it to tzedakah. So I don't think there will be an issue. But a regular shliach, I'm giving you cash to go deliver to someone, you're not allowed to spend the money. It's a real shliach, and when you're a real shliach, the Nesivus is saying that you're not permitted to spend the money. Okay? So, now, what happens if you don't have a Moshe Svara? Let's say there's an assumption that you're not going to put it into the bank. Why? Because I told you specifically, there's a reason why this is cash. I don't want it to go into the bank. I don't want to start getting tracked. I want it to be in this form. So you don't have a Moshe Svar. So I guess you're back to the regular Svar. Do people spend cash or don't they spend cash? And then you'll be back to that Svar of
the Smav. Nowadays we all spend cash.
Exactly. Now, there is a very interesting Shaila here, which is like this. I'll tell you over the Shaila, and we'll discuss the Psak. It's brought in the Pesachei Tshuva, Siv Dalet from the Galia Masechta. So he says that like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a... Someone gave money to a balagala. I gave you a thousand... You told me that you're going to a trade show. So you're going to some camera, you know, video, video, photo expo out in Las Vegas. They have those like once a year or something. So you're going out there. So I give you $5,000 to go buy me some equipment. Okay? Again, nowadays, most people are not giving that cash and say, hey, you know, put it in your back pocket until you get there. That's not the way it works today. Today, there's easier ways to transfer money and stuff like that. But let's say that's what happened. So I gave you $5,000 cash, and I say, hey, you're going out there to Las Vegas. Go buy me some stuff. At that point, what's your halacha? Are you allowed to spend the money? Are you not allowed to spend the money? Or even more so, yeah, well...
I would just say, just get the job done. Meaning your job is to buy that camera regardless of how the transaction takes place. So as long as he comes back with that video camera, he's good.
Oh.
That's how I'm looking at life.
Okay, so, fine. So now, so I would have said, so there's three levels, and I think at the end we're going to come to that conclusion. But this is the Galia Masechtas Chiddush. The first level is, one could look at it, you're a Shomer Chinam. You're watching the money for me, and don't spend it. The next level up would be, you're a Shomer Sachar, because maybe you have permission to spend it. Like we said, I myself am a guy that, why am I going to the trade show? To be your schlock? I also have to buy my own stuff, right? So I also have my asakim. So I have the right to use your money for myself and buy. Maybe the guys that I want to buy from want cash. And the guy that I'm buying the camera for you doesn't mind that credit. So maybe I'll spend the money for myself and I'll buy for you and I'm allowed to spend it. Okay? However, like this. This is what we said before. Remember, there's three levels. There's a Shomer Sachar, and then there's when you actually spend the money, you become a higher level, which is you're a Shoyel, you're a Loive, you borrowed the money. Nafkamina, list the Mizuyin. If a guy, let's say I have permission to spend the money, and then I'm held up at gunpoint, and I'm forced to give the money away, am I Chayev? The answer is no. Even a Shomer Sachar is potter on that, because list the Mizuyin is Oinus. It's an oinus, not my fault. But if I borrow the money, I'm chayev, like we said originally. If I borrow money, the second I step out of your house with the money, I'm chayev for everything, even if I put up at gunpoint. And if I'm your shoymer, I'm not chayev for listed mizuyin. Okay? So I'm on the way to Las Vegas, and I get a hold, held up at gunpoint, and the $5,000 cash is gone. Am I chayev or potter? So, if I'm not allowed to spend the money, I'm clearly potter. I'm a Shomer Chinam. Even if I'm allowed to spend the money, I'm also potter, because I'm a Shomer Sachar. But maybe the Galia Masechta wants to say, here is different. And the Pshat is what you said. The Pshat is that really, I'm not just a Shomer Sachar. I really became a Loive already. It's like I borrowed the money. Why? Because all the owner is expecting back is the camera. He's not expecting back the cash. So here's a different type of... It's a tricky case. We start... It sounds like originally, oh, you're just a shliach for watching my money for me until you're in Las Vegas. And once you get to Las Vegas, buy it for me. No. It's not like that. You're a shliach to get me a camera and the money I gave you is a halva.
Unless the guy's smart and he says, but Dafka, I don't want to be a... borrower. After the shiur, if you heard the shiur today, you would say, I'm going to Vegas, but I'm not a borrower. You could do that.
You could do that. Yeah, you could do that. But there's another problem. If you're a borrower, by the way, is a big shaila, because if you're a borrower, why in the world are you schlepping back his stuff for free?
Oh, boy.
Maybe it's ribbis.
Just a friend. You're a business friend.
What?
You're saying you have a business relationship.
That's by the way, I'm also need stuff ribbis. In Vegas. Can you do it for me?
Saying thank you is ribbis. This is not gonna be ribbis.
It's for sure ribbis.
Yes. I mean yeah. Saying thank you is ribbis.
Because I'm not schlepping back cameras for all of South Florida from Vegas, right? I'm only doing it for this guy. Why? Because this guy lent me the money. So if you're not a borrower and I'm just a shliach, okay, so I'm a simple shliach, I'm buying my camera, I'm buying your camera, then I was a shliach, fine, no problem. Then I'm a friend. But the second that I become a borrower on the money, now I'm stepping back your stuff for free. That could be a shaila. Could be you have to pay me an extra few dollars to schlep back your stuff. But this is a Galia Mesechta's Chiddush. It's a very nice Chiddush, and it's your Svara, that a pikadon of money that's given, al das, to spend on something specific, is a different type of transaction now. Now the idea is, since he's not expecting back the cash, then it becomes halva, and you become chayv anointed. So now let's take the $10,000 in Eretz Yisrael thing a little differently. I'm not giving you $10,000 to go and give to my daughter. I'm giving you $3,000 to go buy me a pair of tefillin. I have my son's bar. This is my son's bar mitzvah. My son's bar mitzvah coming up. My son's tefillin is left in Eretz Yisrael. Can you go? Here's the cash. Go find the sofer. Give him the money. So at that point, that $3,000 cash is very different than the $10,000 we were talking about before. The $10,000 we were talking about before, you're a shliach, don't touch it, you're a shomer chinam, you're not allowed to spend it even if you want to, and you're a shliach. That's the pischei tshuva, the nesivus over here. But in this case, where you're bringing the money to buy something for him, right? So, b'chi agavna, he's not expecting back that money, he's expecting back the tefillin. Could be you become a borrower. And that's not kishmak, to be
unless
a borrower.
Unless he's mafaris, he doesn't want to be a borrower.
Right, you say, look, I'm taking no achrayus on the money, I'm just your shliach, then I'm just...
Rabbi, just to throw a little wrinkle into the rabbi's example of the tefillin, is there enough kaminat, is there a concept of maybe the guy that gave him money to go spend $3,000 tefillin, maybe he worked very hard and it's kosher money, and he wants that kosher money for his tefillin. This guy who he's giving the money to, if he spends it, maybe he's not the most, he wants maybe the mitzvah. The camera is no problem. The camera, but when we go to the devout mitzvah of tefillin, mitzvah, maybe he's not allowed to spend it for a devout mitzvah.
Meaning you're saying that I want to spend this cash. It's like my grandfather's buying the tefillin. The Zayd is buying the tefillin. I don't want this clown to buy my
tefillin. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Is there a concept of that?
What?
Is there a concept?
I don't think it's called that he's buying it in that realm. I mean, probably there's a concept that, like, you know, a lot of times, like, the grandfather will go and, like, give you a cash and buy the tefillin, so you want his money to buy it for you. I still think it's called that he's buying it.
In all those cases, you would have to be mafarish. This is my grandmother's money, it's halak gegelt, don't switch it out. But otherwise, we have all these assumptions.
Right. Yeah, I think you would have to have a source to create that new assumption. You could say it if you want, like he's saying, but to go ahead and create that assumption, I think, is a chiddush.
I remember reading the Talmud, there was a Tana that when he made, I believe it was a Torah scroll,
yeah.
And I guess the basic concept was he did everything so honestly, he wanted to be...
Lishma, good. Yeah.
Yeah, Lishma, exactly. So right. Maybe perhaps the tefillin, you know, he wants it to be that specific money.
The
video camera I don't care about. It's a video camera. It's tefillin. It's up. I don't know.
Just
my own...
I hear what you're saying. I think you... Allah have you riot. You have to bring the proof to that idea. I think in the sources, we don't necessarily find that idea, but maybe... You know, also, I'll tell you another chiluk. The other chiluk is that by the case of the in Vegas, there's a much more simple chiluk. I gave the example for the sake of giving the example, but if you analyze it, it's really not the same. In the case of Vegas, I need you also to make the transaction. I don't know which vendor I'm buying it from. I don't really know anything. I know this camera's available there somewhere. Go get it for me. So you're kind of like, you got to close the deal for me. So you're kind of working on your own to get me the deal. In the case of the tefillin, you're really a shliach. It's already purchased. I already know the cipher. I know the tefillin. It's designated for my son. You're really just picking it up. So it could be it's really bechlal, not a halva case. It could be it's just literally a shliach. The kinyan is already done. Everything's done already. You're just coming to exchange the money for the tefillin. So it could be it's not a good example anyway. I was just trying to make it real. You know, but in general, if you give someone the cash in order to go buy you something, right, Obviously, there's a lot of nekudas to say, but this is how he says it. And then he's misupik about it in different cases, but that would be the Yisoid. Okay, now next week what we're going to talk about, Be'ezer Hashem, is where it gets very nice, interesting, fancy, what about the benefits of the money in the meanwhile? So let's say you did what Ramesha said and you put it into a bank account. Who gets the interest? Or what happens if you spend the money and you put it into a fund and you made money? You invested the money and you made some money. Who gets that money? You or him. Third case, what happens if you put the money, you thought he was going away for the whole summer. So you put it into a 60 or 90 day, you know, type of investment. The guy shows up in the middle and says, I want my money back. I didn't tell you I was going to be away for 90 days. You assumed that. Now you're halfway, but I can't liquidate that investment. So do we say a svara that maybe half you have to share half of the revach with this guy, with the owner? How do you deal with these scenarios? So that we'll talk about next week, Be'ezer Hashem.